Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
And welcome to Africa Link. The time in West Africa is 7:05. Here in Bonn, Germany, it's 8:05 on Monday, the 8th of December. Good morning. My name is Mark Caldwell. Coming up, Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe cements his hold on power, promising to announce the new ZANU-PF leadership this week.
And there will be many goodbyes. Some have already chosen through their own irregular acts to bid us farewell.
South Africa prepares to receive the body of Pia Kauke, killed in a failed rescue attempt in Yemen.
Questions around the raid are that why did the US special forces or intelligence not have information that Kauke was supposed to be released on Sunday?
And we'll also be talking to Ghana's Deputy Minister for Local Government and Rural Development about sustainable development goals. Stay tuned to this edition of Africa Link.
Top story.
A dynasty in the making is what seems to be taking shape in Zimbabwe after President Robert Mugabe's ruling ZANU-PF party appointed First Lady Grace Mugabe to the powerful post of head of the Women's League. The promotion, announced at the end of the party congress in Harare, is seen by analysts as one way of solving the succession battle. DW's correspondent in Harare, Columbus Mafunga, attended the Congress and has more details.
Those are members of the ruling ZANU-PF at their party's congress. They believe their 90-year-old leader, President Robert Mugabe, will be with them for a long time to come. And to prove that point, he was unanimously elected the party's president to lead ZANU-PF for the next 5 years. He is set to contest the 2018 presidential elections. By then, he will be 94 years old. Mugabe said he would announce the new ZANU-PF leadership by Thursday this week.
And there will be many goodbyes. Some have already chosen through their own irregular acts to bid us farewell. Those who are not here have said goodbye to us. I don't see us having them back in the Central Committee. So they will become an ordinary member. They will have more time to do their farming, to grow maize and potatoes.
That is an apparent reference to Vice President Mujuru, who has since fallen out of favor with Africa's oldest head of state, the only leader Zimbabwe has known since its independence from Great Britain in 1980. Delay in filling vacant senior posts of ZANU-PF has heightened speculation that Mugabe does not have a successor in mind yet. But what about his wife Grace Mugabe, who was confirmed as the head of the powerful ZANU-PF women's wing? I put that question to Takura Jangaja, a political commentator.
Well, it was to be expected. It was a given once she had been endorsed by the Women's League itself. But in terms of leadership and key positions, it depends on whether she's put into cabinet. Normally, the women's secretary is actually made a minister in government.
Analysts say with Vice President Mujuru out of ZANU-PF leadership, it is now Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa who is likely to take the reins from Mugabe.
Columbus Mapunga and Zimbabwe's Vice President Joyce Mujuru, who was kicked out of the ZANU-PF Politburo and will soon be replaced as Mugabe's deputy, did not attend that party congress. So does that mean her political career is over? Ruth Mambanga, editor of The Zimbabwean, told Crispin Mwakideu, one shouldn't write her off just yet.
Well, in Zimbabwe, if you are kicked out of ZANU-PF, it normally signals the end of your political career. But I'm reluctant to write her off at this stage because she does have considerable support within ZANU-PF. You will recall when this whole shindig started, they sacked 9 provincial chairmen out of 10 political provinces, and 9 of the province heads were behind Joyce Mujuru. And you also recall that 10 current ministers in Mugabe's government have been fingered in one way or another of supporting her. That's quite a lot. That's about a third of Mugabe's ministers. So, you know, she does enjoy support among the rank and file and generally among the people of Zimbabwe, where she is seen as a moderate and not one of the hawks in Mugabe's party.
You mentioned that she has a considerable support within the ZANU-PF. Does that mean that she could, in essence, split the party?
I don't think she would go that way, because they've been alleging that she's corrupt, that she's been demanding 10% of any new investments in the country. She's been involved in gold and diamond smuggling and so on. So if she makes Mugabe feel uncomfortable, they can just bring charges against her. Don't forget, Mugabe has used treason to silence some of his opponents in the past, starting from 1980 when he accused Bishop Abel Muzorewa of trying to kill him, and then Morgan Tsvangirai, then Dabaningi Sithole, and all the other leaders. She should be aware that Mugabe has got all these tricks up his sleeve.
Talking of charges, she's been accused of wanting to assassinate the president, which is, as you say, a very serious crime.
It is.
But do you see her fighting those allegations inside Zimbabwe, or she's likely to flee the country, as many other critics, as you pointed out, who have done that before?
She's being watched. They've got a CCTV in her house. So, you know, it would be very difficult for her to escape. And in any case, if she were to do that, that would confirm to everyone that she was involved in some underhand activities. I think she would want to prove, she would want to have her day in court. And you'll notice there's reluctance on Mugabe's part to move against her at this moment. She's been accused of a very serious offence, and yet she has not even been questioned by the police.
Wilf Mbanga, editor of the Zimbabwean.
News, analysis and feature reports. All that here on Africa Link.
Only a few days after remembering the death of Nelson Mandela, South Africans face yet another bereavement. Today, the country is receiving the body of Pierre Kokke, a hostage who was killed in a failed rescue attempt by US Special Forces in Yemen on Saturday. The South African government has said it did not want to apportion blame for his death. Our correspondent, Tuzo Kumalo, has been telling Crispin Mwakideo how South Africa is dealing with this loss.
It is indeed with sad news that South Africans have received the message that Pierre Kokke has been killed. And remember, on Sunday, it is the day that he was supposed to be released according to the gift of givers who negotiated his release. So a lot of South Africans have poured out condolences because they were hoping that at last the wait is going to be over. And it is even more painful to Kokke's family. The wife had been told the wait is over and arrangements have been made for Kokke to fly out of Germany and be received in a safer country before flying to South Africa. So South Africa and South Africans are really in sadness and in mourning because of this death.
The charity organization Gift of the Givers, as you said, which Kokke used to work with, have criticized the raid which led to his death. Can you expound more on that?
Obviously, questions around the raid are that why did the U.S. Special Forces or intelligence not have information that Kokke was supposed to be released on Sunday? At least there's a feeling they could have waited until he's released. But at the same time, U.S. also had a pressure. Remember, its citizen Luke Somers, they had information that within 72 hours he's going to be executed if they don't pay the ransom. So U.S. had pressure on their side, but also on this other side, there's a feeling that they never cared what happens to other hostages in the effort to rescue their own national. So there's that feeling that US let South Africa down, and many people saying at least there should have been communication, there should have been intelligence that someone was going to be released and that such an attack will put the person in danger.
Do you think that Kokke's death could affect how South Africans behave in foreign countries?
Definitely, because all along people would hear about Al-Qaeda extremists as far away as something that is distant. So this brings it closer home. This tells South Africans that it's dangerous out there, especially where terrorism is still being practiced, where there's still these extremists. So obviously people are going to go into those countries with so much caution, especially you have a lot of South Africans work for NGOs that help in very difficult countries. So this will definitely change the views of South Africans and make them to be more safe when they go out there, especially in countries where Al-Qaeda and other extremists are still in charge.
Tuzo Kamalo in Johannesburg. A number of high-profile delegates recently attended a symposium on development, which was held right here at Deutsche Welle in Bonn. The aim was to examine how local communities can be involved in shaping the UN Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, which will replace the Millennium Development Goals, MDGs, that expire in 2015. Ghana's Deputy Minister for Local Government and Rural Development, Emmanuel Kwadwo Agyekum, was present at the conference, and he told me how he expected SDGs to differ from the MDGs.
If you look at the SDG, what Ghana we are doing is to at least do consultation from the local level. Let people be part of the decision. Let people actually decide the way to make this thing more sustainable. It shouldn't be just a coffee drinking talk, but rather something practicable. And these are things that are coming from the people at the very low level. As compared to the MDG, that a decision was taken from somewhere and somebody brings something and they bring money for few people to know. I mean, to be honest with you, MDG, I will say, stayed at the very big capital cities in most of the countries. And the local people, if you go to the very ground, the people that we are saying that we want to eradicate poverty, the people that we want to say that we want them to have infant mortality, they did not actually have a feel of what we're talking about, MDG.
You mentioned infant mortality, and that is one of the Millennium Development Goals which Ghana is not going to meet. Why is this?
Local people should have taken decisions as to what to do in terms of something like having a facility for people to deliver by skilled people taking care of them. However, it wasn't the case.
The details of the Global Sustainable Development Goals have yet to be worked out. What do you think they ought to contain?
I want to see eradication of poverty, trying to get rid of conflict, trying to make sure that at least there is equality, good education of quality, and equality in terms of countries. We shouldn't make other countries look down on the other countries. These are very important things that we have to look at. We should also not look at cities alone, because it's not all the people who are living in the urban areas. There are equally people living at other areas, rural areas and small towns that we have to take care of as well. So it shouldn't be city-driven alone.
How well do you think Ghana did as far as the Millennium Development Goals were concerned?
To me, if you look at the general assessment, I would say Ghana has done well in most of the areas with the exception of sanitation. Sanitation is probably the area that I see Ghana not to be doing very well. Apart from that, we've been able to achieve, if not the maximum targets, we have made a lot of efforts to be able to overcome certain things.
Ghana's Deputy Minister for Local Government and Rural Development, Emmanuel Kwadwo Agyekum. I'll be back in 10 minutes with a summary of our main stories. But now here's Learning by Ear, Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Welcome to a new episode of Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
This third season of our radio series is called Facing the Future, and that's exactly what our young heroes are doing. Trudy is studying journalism, and she's just tried to put what she's learned into practice. But her first interview with local politician Mukaraba didn't go well.
There are rumors that your baby is not biologically yours, that you adopted her illegally.
Listen, young lady. I don't know who's been feeding you this malicious nonsense, but I'm warning you. Don't you dare print that.
What if I tell you I have a witness who says you adopted her sister illegally?
But wait a minute. Trudy's friend Mercy told her that in strictest confidence. And Mercy has a lot on her mind already. She's mother to a 3-year-old girl called Linda, whose father, Dan, disappeared to his home country right after Linda was born. But now he's back in town.
What do you want? Why are you here?
To see you and our daughter.
I have nothing to say to you, Dan. Goodbye.
And Dan's not the only one who suddenly reappeared in Mercy's life. Her father, Msoto, has also come back to the city after her mother threw him out 3 years ago. He claims to be a changed man and a believer in King Karubu. Let's see if he has really changed in today's episode, In the Name of the King.
Hey, what's all this noise? What's that man doing over there on the street corner?
It sounds like he's talking to the spirits of something. But why is he hanging that cloth on the wall?
I have no idea.
Come closer and witness the power of King Karubu.
King Karubu? Have you ever heard of him?
No, never.
Okay, come on, let's have a look.
Okay.
A few years ago, I, Msoto,
was just a poor man.
I hid in shame, for I was unholy and dirty.
He doesn't look that dirty now, in that nice clean suit.
Yeah, right. In fact, I want such a suit
but
myself.
But today,
yeah,
I am changed. Nobody is greater than my king. And you people are about to witness his greatness. Oh, Kimene, Kimene, King Karubu, Karubu, Kimene. King Karubu, with my spiritual eye, I, Msoto, see a man who has struggled on crutches for many years. Step forward, sir. Please, make way for this faithful man.
Here I am.
I invite you to follow me behind this curtain, for King Karubu can only walk in privacy.
What? What is this nonsense?
Shh! Let us see what happens now they have disappeared behind the curtain.
King Karubu, I call upon you and your spirit.
What's that smell? And all these dust. What are they doing?
I don't know.
Mighty King Karubu, you have shown mercy and greatness.
Look, they're coming out.
I now ask this man to throw away his crutches. Throw away your crutches. In the name of King Karubu, I command you to throw away your crutches.
Hey, I can walk.
Incredible, really?
Amazing. I can't believe my eyes. What did you do?
Oh, Dan. Thank God this working day is over.
Ah, you can say that again, Billy. And thank God it's payday. Let's go to the bus stop. This is the one day we have the luxury of taking public transport instead of walking home.
Oh, yes. I'm so tired.
Me too. Ah, the work at the building site is really hard. And then there's my ex-girlfriend.
Mercy, right? What about her?
Ah, I saw her yesterday. But she wasn't at all happy to see me. And she won't let me see my daughter either.
I told you.
Yeah. Maybe I should go back there once I've saved up some money so I can show her that I'm ready to help out.
Talking of money, you know you owe me, right?
I know. But please, Billy, after I pay my bills, there'll be nothing left. You understand, don't you?
There's nothing to understand, Dan. It's not like you don't have money. You refused your father's offer to go to university and build up his company again. All because of your stupid pride.
You know what, Billy? Here's your money. Take it. Take it all. Just leave me alone.
That's not... Oh, come on. You're giving me everything you earned. You don't have to pay me all of it today.
Just leave me alone.
Well, at least let me pay your bus fare.
No, thanks. I'll walk home.
Why?
hands.
and then you just threw those crutches away. How come you never tried your hand at acting, Ben? You should have seen yourself when you shouted, I can walk! I can run!
Soto, I told you I could pull it off.
I almost burst out laughing. And the amazing thing is, they all believed it.
Hey, Soto. How much did we make today in the name of King Karub?
Considering that was our first miracle, the takings weren't bad at all. Hey, remember, I'm here for family reasons. And if anyone asks, you don't know me.
I've never seen you before in my life.
Oh, Ben, I like you.
Two more beers for you, gentlemen.
Thank you. A toast to King Karub.
To King Karub.
To King Karub. Long live King Karub.
Oh, yeah.
Who's that?
Why is the office door locked? Open up, Nene.
Oh. Mukarabo, my boss. Sorry, I wasn't expecting you. You usually don't come to the club before midnight.
Close the door.
Sure, sir.
Listen, Imnene, I don't have much time. I want you to call this number and deliver this message.
Masim Soto, stop spreading rumors about Honorable Mukarabo. Keep your big mouth shut or you will lose your tongue. What? This is a threat.
I know. I will do it myself. But everybody knows my voice. Besides, you have a more threatening voice than I do.
That's not what I mean, sir. I'm a police officer. I could go to jail for
something.
Former
police officer. And you would be in jail right now for corruption if I hadn't helped you go into hiding.
But, sir, what's this written on the back? An address?
Yes. I need you to go there and get me the tape recorder that journalists used to record our conversation.
But, sir...
Wait. Listen, what's going on out there?
I told you, you don't get anything for free. Give me my money.
Oh, damn.
Please, listen to me for the last time. I have no more money left with me.
They are at it again.
Who is at what?
The girls are fighting with the client. He must have refused to pay for their services. Something happened yesterday and...
You'd better deal with that.
Yes, sir.
And Imnene?
Yes, sir?
Take care of that message. And the tape recorder, right away.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Oh, dear. It seems Trudy and Mercy both are in trouble. And was that their friend Tina we just heard through the door at the club? It sounds as if she's working there. Tune in next time if you want to know how the story continues. And check out our webpage on dw.de/LBE or follow us on Facebook. Bye for now.
And before we go, a reminder of our main stories. Zimbabwe's 90-year-old President Robert Mugabe has promoted his wife to the top ranks of his ruling ZANU-PF party. South Africa is receiving the body of Pierre Corky, who was killed in a failed rescue attempt in Yemen on Saturday. We've also been hearing how Ghana is preparing to tackle sustainable development goals by engaging local communities. And there we come to the end of this edition of Africa Link. Do send us your comments and suggestions either in an SMS to country code 49 16095759510, in an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, or in a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. From me, Mark Caldwell, thank you for listening and bye now.